After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This is Ram Dass here and now. I'm Raghu Marcus, and we're ready to present another edition. This will be a contemporary, meaning we just did this within the last week or two with Ram Dass. We had a chat about seva, service, and of course he's been involved in this area of yoga, the yoga of seva, for many, many, many years, decades, really. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I also want to mention that we're getting into the season of giving gifts to people for the holidays. Just the giving season is upon us, so I wanted to let everyone know we just have some fantastic articles of clothing, books, downloads, malas, Be Here Now clock, just a wonderful array of spiritual materialist items that we can all take advantage of and giving somebody. Now, come on, we're going to give somebody a meaningful gift. And to do so, go to ramdass.org and go to the store. It would be ramdass.org/shop. Could be. Try it. There's going to be a, it's getting revamped as we talk with beautiful graphics and so on. But you can go on over there if you want to get started. I mean, this is November, so things seem to pass very quickly as we get into the holiday season. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. I also wanted to mention a very, very self... this is some real self-cherishing, you know, everybody out there. Well, if you listen to Mind Rolling, you know I talk a lot about that. Been talking a lot about the movie of me that Krishnadas talks about and investigating how we can get unglued from this self-referential day-to-day that we put upon ourselves. And so in that way, I think you might like some of the... If some of you haven't checked out Mind Rolling, which is another podcast on the Be Here Now network, I suggest that there are some incredible people that I have talked to, not the least of which recently, within the last couple of months, was a man named, teacher named Adya Shanti. I would have you definitely listen to that podcast. And a year ago, because I talked to Robert Svoboda, who is the author of several books under the title of Agora, A-G-H-O-R-A, different books on that path, and his guru, Vimalananda, who has tremendous information, especially around the law of karma. So, Mind Rolling, check me out with that particular podcast. And Those are my two announcements for this week, everyone. So Ram Dass, most of everyone who knows of Ram Dass pretty much knows two things that he was involved with service. One is Seva, the organization that he helped founded that is dedicated to curing blindness in this world. And the other is all the work that he's done with death and dying. And he has made a life's work out of working with people who are in transition. And, you know, I think that we're having a retreat this, as we always do, Open Your Heart in Paradise, which is taking place at the end of the month, starting at the end of November into early December. Go to ramdass.org to check out, or certainly join the mailing list, because we're going to make an announcement for free streaming. So if you couldn't make it, and it did get sold, it sold out very quickly, then you'll be able to get the live stream over that weekend, which is the first weekend in December. So we talk a lot about in this particular retreat, by the way, the theme is going to be generosity. And I find a lot of meaning in that word these days. And again, it goes back to my interest in really dealing with the day-to-day severe attachment to our protecting ourselves, to moving in and out of all situations with tremendous self-interest that we have. And it's just a common human thing. It's not something we should run from or be afraid of or condemn ourselves. But it is a reality, and there are ways to break through that complete self-involved state. And one of them is generosity. And I think at this retreat, we're going to talk a lot about service. I mean, just we're going to talk about compassion, obviously, and the way in which really, truly, deep down in all of us, there is a place that we can connect with that is about wanting good for others. Simple, simple, simple. Just wanting good for others. And where we stop putting ourselves first and we start really thinking of others. And once we do that, that the natural result of that is that we stop thinking about ourselves so much. So I do think that the role of service, seva in Hindi, is extremely important, not just in its own nature of doing something to help improve the lives of others in our world, but it goes a long way to getting ourselves to break through the golden chain of self-interest. Golden chain? I don't know. But it's a chain, all right. So this catches Ram Dass talking about this little talk that we did that includes actually my son, Noah Marcus, which is a delight to have him along, because he's been putting together Ram Dass's key talks and words about service. And so he wanted to get where Ram Dass was at from his current perspective. And so really some great things came out of it. And I'm happy to share them with you, share this talk with you. So here it is. It's Ram Dass around service. And there are many different attributes to it, including the way we get stuck in thinking we are doing something for someone else. As usual, of course, Ram Dass being completely honest in every which way about whatever it is he's talking about. He doesn't talk without including himself in the ways in which we all can get loss. At least previously to these days, Ram Dass is, as you know, if you've listened to him and you've heard him in more contemporary times, he is really living Love Everyone these days. So here it is. It's Ram Dass, Here and Now.
Hi, Ram Dass. Hi, Noah. This is Raghu, and we're going to just hang out and talk about a little bit about service, seva, social action, outer and inner. And one thing, we had this wonderful article which was put together. Who knows if you saw it or not, Ram Dass? So much stuff going on, it's hard to keep you abreast. But this was called Ram Dass on the Importance of Inner Social Action. And I guess that's a favorite subject of mine personally, because, you know, we go to these events like Social Venture Network, which everybody out there, by the way, Ram Dass was one of the first people involved, and you really did, Ram Dass, advise them about the efficacy of working on oneself while trying to do quote unquote good in the world. That's become even more self-evident now with everything that's going on. Ram Dass, what about the importance of, and how do you create that balance of working on yourself while you, at the same time, you are doing taking actions in the world that you would hope would benefit humanity? How do you even approach that in terms of balance?
Well, the key is karma yoga. Karma yoga, you take what is in front of you as a step towards God. If you have somebody you love, you take that as a step on of sadhana. If it's somebody you hate, the hatred is in your mind, you love the hatred. You work on it. You work on it on your mind to have all thoughts are positive towards God. And social action is motivated by by various motives in you. I went, that's the stop. But those are attachments. And you take social action not exactly to doing something to somebody. But it's you and the person you are fighting are one. And you see the person whom you're fighting as a soul. Manifesting their karma. And you should relate to them as a soul. And not to their karma.
That's pretty difficult to do when there's all this, so much polarization, anger, hatred, fear manifested by this karma. How do you even begin to approach embracing that with love?
Well, I have a picture of President Trump on my altar.
Yeah.
And my attention is placed on that picture, and I say to him, I haven't known you as a soul. Your karma is affecting my karma. But now I'm talking to to the soul. You have a heavy burden of karma. I feel for you. And if I meet you as soul to soul, I feel compassion for you. And we will, soul to soul, examine where your karma came from, and we can rid you of that karma.
Can we fly you to Washington tomorrow for that tete-a-tete, perhaps? There'd be a lot of people who would love for you to help evaporate that karma, that's for sure.
Can I ask a question here?
Mm-hmm.
How do we bring loving kindness into a protest situation? I feel like there's a lot of protests on our horizon here. And I want to know, how do we do that with the right spirit and not with anger?
The anger comes from the ego. Comes from power, comes from fear. Remember the story of Allen Ginsberg, called me to join him in a protest, and the protest was like, and Alan had his group of meditators with me in it, who were meditating, that we were meditating meditating on peace within us. Peace within us. And all around us were and all of that was out there. And in here with peace. And the group of meditators were radiating radiating peace. In a palpable way.
You know, in this article, Ram Dass, you said, and this is a bit of what I was referring to earlier on around inner social action and outer social action. You said there is a doing and there is a being, which is what you're just talking about. In being, we have to quiet down inside of ourselves. We have to anchor ourselves in spiritual wisdom, keep our love strong, and remain compassionate, even towards those who we do not agree with. While remaining centered in our own being, we need to do whatever actions we can to alleviate the potential negative effects of this new era. This new era, by the way, could be 60s or right now.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know when you said that, but it is relevant, which is wild. It's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys, both of you, does this feel different nowadays than the 60s felt? I mean, just in terms of what's going on socially and politically and all that?
Well, there are definite parallels, absolutely. One of the other things, Ram Dass, that you said, actually, which is good to remember, is, what did you say here? It's difficult sometimes, but we need to remember to consider the long view in the scheme of things. There has always been light to balance out the darkness. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, an integral statement, because we get lost in, you know, in thinking like this is the worst thing that ever has happened in the dawn of human history. And as bad as it is, we thought that, the stuff back then, particularly with when we're talking about presidents, Nixon, was very, very difficult and caused a lot of polarization, resentment, fear, hatred, everything we're talking about dealing with now. So, from my point of view, there's, a huge parallel between late 60s, early 70s and where we are now. I don't know. What do you think?
Does it feel worse now?
It felt bad then, right, Ram Dass? Didn't it?
Yep. Yeah, but it certainly looks to us worse now.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's good to, you know, that long view idea is is righteous.
Yeah.
Is definitely helps to not get as so stuck in the darkness.
Can we talk about that darkness for a sec? Because that's all, I don't know, that's all I see right now. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. How do I see some light here?
Yeah, I don't think it's at the end of the tunnel. It's
anywhere.
It's Ram Dass, would you not say it's back to what exactly what's been talked about here, which is finding that inner place that has that light, right? And be able to engage. You talked about karma yoga, whatever we engage with on a day-to-day basis. So we have to find that that light within to be
find it within us. You don't find it within politics, but you find it in us. And by your being of those things, the soul It's composed of love, compassion, wisdom, peace, and joy. Those are all in us. We have our attention all on the outside things, like the
negative,
and we haven't looked inside. And when we look inside and be our soul, be our soul, we radiate love, we radiate compassion, we radiate the things that the world needs at this point. And all we have to do is be our being. And convince others to look inside. And then we have a group that will counteract the darkness.
I love that. Be our being. Okay. It's going to take over from Be Here Now, I think. Let's do a book, Ram Dass. Be Our Being. Another project for Love Server Member Foundation. Noah, what else you got on your docket?
What else? I don't know. That was pretty good for me.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
I feel better already.
I joke a lot about the book, How Can I Help, with Paul Gorman. And How Can I Help sort of me as a helper. And now that I have a stroke, I title the book, How Can You Help Me? And now I'm learning dependency, which is a tough thing in our culture. In the old days, I went out to go to bedsides and speeches and social action. And now I don't leave Maui. And people come to me as retreatants, and Skype. We work on the Skype, and transmit my soul to them. I transmit peace. I transmit love. Until the mirror effect, they have looked at and identified with their soul. Yeah.
But in this whole course of this radical change through the stroke, of course, of taking care of people and then having to be cared for, I know, of course, you know, we've talked a lot about this just over the dinner table kind of a thing, and the radical confrontation with surrender is not that a primary ingredient in terms of allowing yourself to be taken care of and to, okay, let's do this. Okay, we're going to go over here, to let go into that kind of, that's an extraordinarily difficult thing. Ego doesn't want to know about that, and that, you know, that, that reality. So, has that helped? You're talking about, you had that wonderful book, of course, Polishing the Mirror. Has that gone a long way to polishing the mirror in terms of getting, eradicating the vestiges of control?
Well, I said the dependency is a major learning to be for us, because our egos want control. When I went over to India and met Maharaji, I felt immediately his control of me. And before meeting him, I was the captain of my ship. And after meeting him, he became the captain of my ship. And I surrendered to him. At first, I didn't believe it. I was drained of my power. And then I realized he knew everything, and I didn't know everything. And it was appropriate that he's going to be the captain of my ship.
I like that, appropriate. It's an appropriate karmic encounter. Can I just make one little sort of asterisk on one word you said, which we should find another word? As soon as you met Maharaji, you realized that he was in control. He was controlling. And it's funny because I just said earlier today, to I can't remember who, when I first met Maharaji and started hanging out with him, I realized he just wasn't doing anything. There was no doing. And and I think with you, what you just said, it was appropriate that he should become the captain of my ship. I think in the same breath, you at that time knew that God, Guru, and Self are one. You had that deep experiential thing. So this wasn't an outer being controlling, doing anything. So that, just a little asterisk there.
Yeah.
Guiding. He was, he is the light, right? He's the light within us that's guiding us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I had one thought. I mean, we're getting close to our allotted time. I had a thought, and this is going back to it, because everything we're talking about and everything you're saying, it's so nothing can happen without inner social action at the same time as people are taking action in the world to better it in one way or another, one person at a time or a march or calling your congresswoman or man, whatever. Inner social action necessary. So then I started thinking about the Bodhisattva vow. I will not have personal, take personal enlightenment. I will not go beyond the beyond until every being is released from suffering, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
So how about, so in terms of people, saying to people and advising that doing social action and then taking action from the point of view, from the soul point of view that you elaborated on earlier, it's actually a nice, it can be a selfish motivation to have empathy, to have compassion, to take acts to relieve suffering. Because is it not true that when you do that, as you move into that interaction with another human being or that action with a group of human beings, you stop thinking about your little self, right? Because you're thinking of somebody else. So in that very basic premise that thinking of someone else immediately gets you out of thinking of the mini me. Remember, we talked about that in the last retreat with Bob Thurman. You called it meat puppets. We stop being identified as meat puppets, and we call it, or mini-me. And I'm saying as soon as we take an action with another human being with loving kindness. What do you think? As a basic motivation to do, to get into a place where you're taking righteous outer social action and you're starting with inner social action, which can be just a selfish thing. I'm going to get out of this mire of meat puppetness as soon as I start to take an act that might help somebody else.
And we were stopping blindness in many people. And I was on the stage giving my rap for blind people. Giving me a rap about blind people. And then my mind shifted to previous mind. What am I doing here, for God's sake? I don't know these people. I don't have any personal motivation in doing this job. But then I settled down into the social action. And it was appropriate dharma for me. And I continued to lecture and raise money for the blind people. Not out of self-aggrandizement, but rather for them, for them.
Right. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking with this, making that movement for them. Stop thinking about oneself, either aggrandizement or whatever.
And these days, what I experience that I am helping Maharaji convert egos to souls.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it just to help Maharaja.
Yeah. Well, that's a line that you talk about, aligning with Dharma, which is really aligning with soul's predilection. And in this case, you've been doing this for a long time. So my last question isn't to you, Ram Dass, it's to Noah. Do you think that you can marshal a lot of what's being said here relative to aligning your Dharma with whatever whatever it may be?
I think it's the process I go through every day, but trying to make sure my my Dharma is in the right place.
Yes. I think your Dharma is in the right place. Your heart's in the right place.
I will tell you, that, guys, this. I feel lighter right now than I have in a while. It's been a lot of darkness weighing on me with a lot of the stuff that's going on in our lovely country. But I have a little light to go on now.
Right. And that's, Ram Dass, that's great when you speak of the different aspects of the soul, wisdom, joy, compassion, love. That's probably the greatest thing that when you speak of doing what Maharaji's intention is, to move people from ego to soul and to align Dharma in that soul context, complex, that complex. That's very reassuring, I think, got to be for next generation too. Thank you, Ram Dass.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Well, namaste.
Namaste.
This podcast is brought to you by the Love Serve Remember Foundation and ramdass.org. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate all the support that you've given us. Please continue that support and donate at ramdass.org. We can then continue to share what Ram Dass has been sharing for all of these years. Thank you.